Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the family of God again, and I'm so glad to be back with all of you. As you know, this CD teaching is in the series for new believers and people who just came to know Christ. And I want to talk, this is a second session on the lifestyle of giving. If you haven't listened to the first CD, I would like to encourage you to get that CD from the church, and you can contact us. You can email us at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org or call us at 206-275-1042 and we will send you one. So it's very important to develop a lifestyle of Christ. And one of the things that Christ did while he was walking on earth, he is the giver. That's why we need to develop lifestyle of giving. Why don't we pray and ask the Lord to guide us and teach us. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we ask you, Lord, to speak to our heart, to renew our mind with your word. We, Lord, ask for the revelation, for understanding, for insight by your Holy Spirit, that we will not be only the hearer, but we will be a doer of your word. Speak to us, Lord. May your anointing change us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Giving is not just a good thing to do. Giving is not just a fulfillment of a certain law. Or we don't give because we fear that God gonna spank us or punish us or do something bad to us. We should not give to God out of fear. I'm talking about the fear of man. And giving in the Christian community is not a donation. Giving is not a contribution to charity. Giving is deeper than that in the Christian walk. And today I would like to talk about the attitudes of giving. What kind of attitudes we should have? We should check our attitude, because God doesn't look on only at our action, but he looks at our heart. In a simple way, I can say this. Giving is the outflowing of love, gratitude, and thanksgiving to the Lord. It's not a donation. It's not just fulfilling the law. I would like to read from the scripture. I would like you to open from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 to 20. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 to 20. These scriptures teach us about the attitude of giving.
Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and all in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own We have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people, who are present here to offer willingly to you. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and fix their heart toward you. And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things, and to build the temple for which I have made provision. Then David said to all the assembly, Now bless the Lord your God. So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the King.
Amen.
Amen.
This is a beautiful anointed prayer of King David. In fact, King David is one of the very impressive and powerful personality and character in the Bible. King David was growing up as a little boy, insignificant. No one knew about him. But he was a man that loved God so much to the point that God called him a man after God's own heart. And he had so much faith in God and he loved God. And God used him to kill a giant named Goliath. And by faith, you know, he actually, by force, he would not be able to knock him down. But by faith, Goliath was killed by King David. Actually, at that time, he was just a young man, David. And then he became the king, one of the greatest king of Israel. And he was a very skillful musician, worshipper. He wrote inspiring books of psalm. He's very, very powerful servant of God. And he was a prophet too. God used him to write many prophetic words in the Bible. But one of the most impressive character that King David had was generosity. You know, if you study the Bible carefully, you can see that all of the great servants in the Bible were very generous. Abraham was very generous. You remember when he was separating from Lot, he said, Lot, you choose first, whatever you want. So he was very generous. Abraham was generous. Isaac was generous. Jacob was generous. Everyone in the Bible, look at Joseph, took care of the whole family. You know, he brought the whole family to Egypt. And then he paid all of them. He fed all of them. He was a very generous man. So you can see that one of the important characters or characteristic that we need to have in order to be a vessel that can contain a lot of anointing and a lot of power and a lot of wisdom from God is to be a generous person. Have a big heart. Everyone say, big heart.
Big heart.
Amen. So we need to have that kind of heart, and it's not just doing things, giving to God out of rituals or out of wrong attitudes, but really from the deep appreciation for God, the love for God. So we're going to look at this scripture in detail. The lifestyle of David, who humbled himself before God and please God so much in his giving. Okay, I'm going to explain to you by looking at this scripture carefully. The first thing we can see in verse 12, both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. So King David recognize one truth, that everything that he had, or everything that you and I have had belonged to God. Is that right? So everything, including money, ability, time, house, property, wisdom, job, everything that we have comes from the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 24, verse 1.
The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it.
Wow. Everything in the world belongs to God.
Amen.
Amen. So this is one of the first attitude we need to have, is that everything that we have belongs to God, and we don't give anything that belong to us to God. Actually, we give back to Him what belongs to Him anyway. So then we can come to Him with a gratitude in our heart that, oh, God, you give me a lot, but I give you back only a certain portion. It's not a big portion at all compared to what we have now. Okay? The second thing, if you read verse 14 and verse 16, and you read it carefully, you can see another attitude he has. Listen carefully. If you read this scripture carefully, you will see. And then when you read it, you also put the stethoscope and listen to the heart of King David. Or use a microscope and examine, scrutinize his heart, okay? He said like this, "But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. O Lord," verse 16, "our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own." So, King David say like this. He actually, this is the word of the king, okay? He is not just a guy on the street. He is not just a regular person in the city. He was the big kahuna, the top guy in the city. And he say like this, "Who am I? What a person like me that have this privilege to give money to you, give this things to you, this offering to you." So in other words, King David really gave out of a thankful and humble attitude. So the same thing when we give, we should not say, "God, you know, you're so lucky that I give money to you. You don't know how smart I am. I am a neurosurgeon. I make good money and I give back to you this much. You are so lucky, God." That is a wrong attitude. Is that right? We should not say that way. I will pray, "God, actually I don't deserve to be in Bellevue. I don't deserve to get a job on the east side here. I don't deserve to be a neurosurgeon. I don't deserve to be a pastor. You give all of these things to me. Who am I that I can give this thing to you?" A humble and very thankful heart.
Amen.
Okay? So everyone say thankful.
Thankful.
Humble.
Humble.
Amen. He considered. You look at the way King David prayed. You can see that he considered a privilege to give to God. He feel such a privilege to be able to give to the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He did not give God out of compulsion or out of duty. You know, can you give example what happened in your life that you feel that you feel it's such a privilege to do this? You can think of any example in your life that you feel so privileged to be there. Maybe you play golf and you were standing with what is his name? The biggest
Tiger Woods.
And who else?
Jack Nicklaus.
Jack Nicklaus. Okay. So you feel like, wow, I can play with Tiger Woods. Maybe for me, I feel like, oh, what a privilege. I can play golf with Susan and Dawn, the pro of Seattle. Amen. So it's a privilege. Today, Jim Hyde, one of our members, told me that the CEO, the president of the company that produced the plate and screw, titanium screw that I put in the neck and spine, gonna come to Seattle. He was so excited to be able to bring this man around the city. It's a privilege to be able to entertain this man. I remember one time when Pastor Rodney Howard Brown came to my home one night to eat dinner. Oh, I tell you, I feel like Elisha came to the house of of the woman of Shenum. You know, I feel like this anointed man who preached in front of 100,000 of people came into my home. And what a privilege. That only a servant of God, can you imagine? You go to church, you go to care group, and you give to the most anointed, the most powerful, the most wise, the wisest person in the whole universe and the whole galaxy system. That is God of our gods and kings of our kings. Amen?
Amen.
So you consider privilege. Look at verse 17, what King David say here. Verse 17, the Bible say, I know also, my God, that you test the heart. You can see when you give, or when you do something, you offer your life to God, you do something for God in the ministry, He will test your heart to see what the motive, the attitude you have. I have willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. In other words, King David tried to say this, I give to you with the integrity of heart. I am sincere. I don't cheat God. I don't say I give $5, then I give $1. I don't say I give $100, but I really put in the offering bag only $2. He gave with integrity. He was not cheating. He did what he said, and he gave fully to what God should receive from him. That or he have an intent in his heart what he's going to give. Many times before I give extra from 10% to the church, when I'm going to give to somebody, a few days ago I wrote a check to give a love offering to somebody in the church. I just feel God spoke to me that bless this person. So I wrote a check, and before I wrote, I asked God, how much should I give? And I wrote the check exactly what God told me, instead of cheating God. Maybe God tell me $10, I wrote only $1. That is not integrity of heart. So you need to give from the integrity of heart. And not only that, he, in verse 16, he say like this, O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name. So when we give, who get the glory? God's glory.
Yes.
He said, I give for your holy name. It's not like I give so that I can get promotion. I can get praises from men so that people will recognize me, so that people will clap hand to me. No. We give in order to bring glory to God. You may give money to the church so that that money can be used to bring more people to Christ, so that we can send CD I share with the church on last Sunday, that one day in November of, no, not again, I think around November or October last year, 2004, I was so inspired by hearing the sharing of the man named Dr. Osteen. I think his name John Osteen. Or John. No, this is the father. Yeah, administrator. Not John. I'm sorry. Paul or something. Paul Osteen, and he said like this: that his brother, younger brother, he Paul Osteen, quitted his job as a general surgeon to come to Lakewood Church to become an administrator full time for his younger brother. I really salute this man. You know, he, instead of compete with his own younger brother, he served his younger brother, who is a senior pastor. And the senior pastor told Paul Osteen that my vision is to preach the word of God to millions of people. And when I listened to that, I say, wow, I should have a big vision like that. So God told me, you may not be in the TV, but the word of God that I anoint you to teach and preach will go through the CD and internet. So I told the church last Sunday that, could you please support me? I don't mean me personally. I mean support the ministry that we can send CD out for free to give to people. Definitely our own church people who order the church, order CD in the church, we need to help the church, you know, a few dollars. But for non-believers or people out there that don't have money, we can send to them. A few days ago, I got the email that people from Burma order our CD from Rivers of Life in Bangkok. So people begin to... today I got another email from another part of Thailand that a church listened to our CD and now want the file of God. Really want to come to Bangkok. So the money that you give out to support the word, support the church ministry, everything for the glory of God, the same thing. The CD that go out will be for the glory of God. We'll build the church for the glory of God. Actually, lately, I start to pray and think about having a Latino congregation in Seattle that will go out to have their own church so that they can reach out. So I find out that a lot of Latino people in Seattle could not speak English very well. They really struggle in our church. So I say, let's go, let's do. So when they start the church, we can help them. We can rent a building, whatever. We want to give glory to God in this ethnic group. Amen. So whatever we do, we build the house of God. We preach the gospel. We expand the kingdom of God. Yes, the gospel is free, but to bring the gospel out is costly. Amen. So that's why we all give to God. And verse 17 also says, I give willingly and joyfully. So when we give, we should do it willingly, not grudgingly, not with complaint or hidden agenda. We should give it willingly, joyfully, smile when we give. We are happy to give. Amen. And one more thing that I like to share from this scripture is verse 18. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and fix their heart toward you. Everyone say, fix their heart toward God.
Fix their heart toward God.
And verse 19 say, and give my son Solomon a loyal heart.
Give my son Solomon a loyal heart.
So in other words, King David said that giving is a way to show loyalty to God. You give with a loyal attitude. Amen. You want to show to God that I fix my heart toward you. My heart is loyal to you. And what the Bible promises, the eyes of the Lord will run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And he will show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. So if you are loyal to God, his eyes going to be upon you. His favor going to be upon you. His grace going to be upon you. Like what happened to Mel or Teddy, that you are loyal to God. You give faithfully to God. That's why he give favor to give you a new job. Amen. And a better job, a better benefit. Okay? You see, that is the hand of God. God blesses you because your heart is loyal to him. So this is very important. When we give out of a loyal heart. Amen? Now I want to talk about another topic about giving. And I would try to make it very simple and easy to understand. That word is tithing. What is tithing? Can you maybe help me give the answer? I know you will give the right answer.
Giving regularly, willingly, a portion of what you have regularly tithing in our church one-tenth.
One-tenth. Mm-hmm. So give regularly, faithfully, persistently, one-tenth or 10% of our income. Let me ask this question. If you consider yourself poor, don't have a lot of money, should you still give 10% what you earn even though you think you are poor?
Yes.
So tithing is not just only for the rich, but it's for everybody. It's a law, it's a privilege that God has given to every believer to do, no matter how much income you get. In fact, I find out that giving 10% is harder for the rich. Because, for example, if you get $200,000 a year, you give $20,000. That $20,000, you can think, I can buy a plasma TV and a Toyota. You know, put down payment in a house and rent out, and I can make yearly income, a lot of income by putting down payment in a house. So actually, to be rich, sometimes it's harder to give because the 10% out of that amount of money is a lot. You can use all kind of excuses not to give. Amen. So the tithe is 10% of our income. Thank God that He did not ask us for 90%. He asked, think about this, okay? Be thankful. He asked only 10% and He wants us to keep 90%. That's a lot. He asks us to give 90%. Only 10% go back to Him. Are you grateful to God?
Yes.
That He did not ask for 90% or even 50-50. You know, a lot of times you go eat lunch together with somebody. 50-50. We need to, what you call? You call Dutch, is that right?
Dutch.
Yeah, Dutch. Yeah. Yeah. You know, in Thailand, you in America, you call Dutch. In Thailand, we call American chair. Isn't it interesting? I come to America, people call Dutch. Dutch,
what? Dutch treat.
Dutch treat. But in Thailand, we call American chair. 50-50. Amen. Okay. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30.
A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord.
The Bible says a tithe or 10% of everything you earn or everything you receive, even the gift. If somebody gives you gift $100, you need to give 10% to God. Not only the paycheck, okay? I just want to be clear. So everything that you earn from, that you receive, or 10%, now the Bible says it is holy to the Lord. What does it mean, holy? It means consecrated. It means set apart. Anything in the world that is set apart or consecrated to be used by God, belongs to God, is called holy. So if this house is consecrated to be used by God, we call a holy house. Oh, this house is holy. You are using this house right now for God. Amen.
Amen.
That the same thing, that 10% belongs to God, doesn't belong to you. He just let that money to pass through your hand and give it back to Him. It's holy in the eyes of God. In the Old Testament, thank God that I'm not living in the Old Testament. I don't have time to try to go into detail. In the Old Testament, there are three kinds of 10%. In other words, the Old Testament people have to save or to share 30% of the income. We are in the New Testament, we do only 10. Are you thankful to God? The Old Testament have three kinds of 10%. But we are not living in the Old anymore. Number one, 10% that they give to the Levites, mean the full-time workers of the temple. Number two, the second 10%, every third year, they have to set aside 10% to give to the poor. Number three, they need to set aside 10% for the expenses to go to Jerusalem or to go to synagogue or go to have a celebration in the feast of God. There are many feasts that they celebrate each year. So they need to make sure that they will have money to travel and to give special offering to God. But nowadays, if you compare to those another two kinds of 10% nowadays, in other words, you need to put money in the, you need to buy gas to go to church, put money to go to the church camp at the end, in the middle of the year, and you give some financial special offering to the poor in the church. You see anyone in lack, then you help them. So that is considered the two kind of tithes in the Old Testament. But nowadays we are in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we give 10% to our local church. Okay? And I want to emphasize one more time, tithe is not just an obligation. I don't want you to feel that it's a religious obligation. Tithe is a privilege. What is a privilege? Let me help you to understand. Number one, tithe is a privilege of worshiping and honoring God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9.
Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops.
The Bible says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit, the best thing, give to God. In my medical practice, when I go to my manager, we have a manager, whenever I want to pull money out to put in my personal checking, she know my formula that she need to put 10% of the gross income that I gain. I pay tax about 35%. So she will calculate and she will put aside that amount of money into my, I have a bank account called charitable bank account. I don't want to use the word tithe. I think bank account is kind of weird. So just use the word charitable bank account. So that money will go right away into that bank account. So I can write check. I have two checkbooks. One checkbook is my from the personal checking. Another checkbook is from charitable bank account. So every time I write check to church or to give to any ministry or to any ministry that God speak to me, then I will write from that account. So 10% will go into that right away. First fruit. In other words, I don't touch it. I give to God. And the Bible says, you give your wealth to God as a sign of honoring God. Giving 10% is a privilege to honor God, worship God. Don't give 10% with the attitude that we want to gain any merits or accumulate goodness in your life. Amen. It's not about accumulating merits in your life like other religions teach people. It says, you remember what happened when God promised Noah that he would not judge the world with the flood anymore? What kind of outward physical sign to show his promise or his attitude, the attitude of God or the heart of God? What is the outward sign to prove that there will no flood, the worldwide flood anymore? How many people know?
The rainbow.
Very good. Okay. Good job. What is the outward action that prove that the Israelite in the Old Testament show that they make a covenant with God? I'm talking about male. What the male Israelite do? What is that? Go ahead.
I'm not sure.
Yes.
Circumcision.
Amen. The same thing, when we make a covenant with God as a believer in the New Testament, the outward sign, physical sign, physical action to show that we have relationship with Christ is
baptism, water baptism.
Water baptism. The same thing. Giving money to God is an outward sign of worship.
Amen.
Every time you put money in the offering bag, you worship God. You worship God with your life.
Hallelujah.
Why?
because that is 10% portion of your life. You when you go to work 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, what you exchange that time of your life for what? What do you exchange that 8 hours, those 8 hours a day? Money. So actually, that paycheck represent your life. Represent 40 hours of your week. Is that right? So how many hours you work, whatever hours you work. So when you give money, you give a portion of your life to God, and you say, I worship you with my life. Amen. Number two, not only the privilege of worshiping God. Number two, a privilege to support God's full-time servant and God's work. Look at Numbers chapter 18, verse 24.
Instead, I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites present as an offering to the Lord. That is why I said concerning them, they will have no inheritance among the Israelites.
God set this system in the Old Testament that the Levites had no lands, no income from farming or from shepherding, but they will receive income from 10% of the rest of the population, other tribes of Israel. So the same thing with the church now. We have expenses in the church, paying electric bill, photocopy paper, you see, buy the light bulb, buy the projector light source, paying the at the administrative fee for something, or buy some computer software, take care of the yard, cleaning the carpet, all these things. And not only that, we have full-time workers to serve us, because they serve God so much to the point that they don't have enough time to do the work of God, so they need to come out full-time, leaving their secular job into the ministry. So the church needs to support them, and this 10% will distribute into these expenses in the church. We have the privilege to be able to support these people. Amen. You know, I want to tell you, every time I fly to another church or another city or another land to preach the gospel there and to conduct revival services, I want to let you know, I'm not going on my own name. Number one, I'm going in the name of Jesus. Number two, I'm going on the behalf of New Hope International Church. You send me. You see what I mean? You sent me to Thailand. You sent me to Japan. You sent me to Phoenix. It's the money that people put into the bank account in the church together, and we do use that for the mission. We send people out to the mission field. Amen. So it's a privilege that we will be partner. Amen. So in other words, when I go to Thailand and I get, for example, 10 people, 50 people, 100 people saved, you're going to have that reward in bank account with me. You share that reward too, because you pay. You send me. The 10% that put in there, whatever happened, good thing so far from last Sunday to today, I got the report from all over churches and our church that we already have 12 people accepted Christ in the past 4 days. Right. So this soul that go to heaven is in our account. I don't say my account, our. Everyone say our.
Our.
Amen. Because we share financially to do this job together. Two of them came from Spanish Latino group in our church, two from Bangkok, and four last Sunday, three I don't remember, but many people accepted Christ this past 3 days. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Number three, a privilege to receive God's spiritual blessing and prosperity. Let's look at what God promised in the Bible about giving tithe or 10%.
Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it.
Wow, our God is a God of 12 basketful and leftover. Our God is a God that sink the boat because too much fish in the boat. Our God is a God of more than enough. If you obey His command and do what He say, you're going to have to the point that you don't have enough room, enough to keep it. You're going to have leftover. You're going to have overflowing. Mm-hmm. Overflowing out of your cup. Now, our God, you remember King David say, anoint my head with oil and my cup, what? Runs over. Is that right? So when you give 10%, God promised you that you will not face financial difficulty. You will have more than enough. You will have leftover to do good things. Amen. So this is the promise of God. And the key to get out from poverty is to give 10%. I know that this is sound illogical. People in the world teaches us that in order to get out of debt, you need to get, take, cheat. But in God's principle, give. Be giver. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6.
Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously.
Proverbs 3:9.
Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine.
So what the Bible tried to say here? Can you explain a little bit about sowing, reaping, and if you give, your barns will be filled? Maybe you can give us some wisdom here.
If you give, you will receive. If you give some, you will receive many or more or beyond mm-hmm. what you've given. And it's a process, and it applies to everything. Mm-hmm. So the more generous you are, the more you will reap or get back.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you can see that if we are generous to God and we honor God with our wealth, our bank account will never be empty. The money in our bank account going to be overflowing and keep growing so that we can do even more for God. And actually, the Bible even, I tell you, our God is the most generous person in the world. When He's going to give you, He doesn't give you a little bit. He gives you a lot.
Amen.
Amen. He is not a stingy God. Look at what the Bible say here. Okay, this is exciting. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, you will be made rich. Made, in other words, you don't make yourself rich. Somebody make you rich. Who?
God
will make you rich. Okay, not only financial, not only financially, in every way. You're going to be rich in finances, in wisdom, in joy, in love, in insight, understanding, in relationship, in family, everything. He said in every way, not only in the financial issue, so that you can be covetous and be selfish? No. So that you can be generous on every. I like the Bible use the word every all the time. Always, every. Every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Wow, what a powerful scripture. Everyone say, I will be
made rich
in every way.
In every way.
Is that for you?
Yes.
If we give 10% to God, if we are faithful and generous in giving, we will be made rich by the big God up there.
Amen.
God's hand going to be upon us, and we don't have to worry. He will pave the way. He opened the way that they look like there is no way. He will work in the heart of your boss to give you the raise. He will work in the heart of your boss to give you a special bonus, whatever. Actually, I tell you, last Friday, I was sitting in my office, and I was in awe, in, like, I was astonished or very surprised that three patients came to me after seeing two orthopedic surgeons, bone surgeons already. All this patient already went to see a few doctors, and even though some of the doctors give right diagnosis and give the right recommendation, some of them give wrong recommendation. No matter what, they still come to see me because somebody else told them that need to come to see Dr. Lau, and they end up being operated by me, give me some financial income. So I was sitting there and said, God, I was talking to God in my heart, God, this is amazing. No one can compete the child of God who give faithfully 10% to you.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. God can still pull these people to my office, even though they went to see other surgeons already. It's amazing. I mean, this is a life testimony. It's real. I was sitting there in awe and fear God. Really, God is so good. Amen. Now, the last thing about tithing, and I will end here and continue, about lifestyle of giving in the third CD. A privilege to receive God's protection and eternal blessing. Let's read the Malachi chapter 3, verse 11. I'm sorry.
I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruits, says the Lord Almighty.
Oh, this is talking about what? Protection. Unnecessary bill. The roof leak, the car breakdown, unnecessary medical bill, sickness, talking about devouring the pest, talking about demons. Yes, the demons cannot attack you easily. I noticed that I have been in this church for 17 years now. I have not seen any member who joined this church from the beginning. I'm not talking about people who joined later on from other church and they already were sick. I haven't seen anyone who stayed in our church have cancer, even one person yet. I haven't seen anyone die of heart attack.
Hallelujah.
In the past 17 years. God protects His people. Amen. Yes, sometimes we have setbacks in life. We have some, you know, some illness and sickness or some thing that happened. But still, God will get rid of those demons as soon as possible for you because you are faithful in tithing. He protects you and He destroys your enemy for you. He will put the shield of protection over you. And not only you get blessed on earth here that you're going to be protected and blessed, you're going to get blessed in eternity. What happened when you faithfully give tithe to the Lord? Let's look at Matthew 6, 19 to 21.
Matthew 6, 19, 21. Yes. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be.
Thank you very much. You can see here that it's a double blessing. Number one, on earth here, when you give faithfully, God will give back to you to the point that you don't have enough room to receive. Secondly, not only He pay you in the bank account on earth, you also store up your account in heaven. When you go to heaven, you have rewards. You have blessing up there. Eternal blessing that the rust cannot destroy. No one, no robber can come in and steal from you. You don't have to worry about stock market go down. The house price go down. The price of the gas go up in heaven. You're going to be secure up there in the presence of the glory of God. Amen. So I want to encourage you in this teaching that be faithful, be loyal to God, and try. This is the only thing in the Bible that God challenges to test him, try him, that if you give 10%, gonna see what happened. I did that in 1983. I was only 2 years old Christian, and I told my wife, let's try. And I tell you, already how many years now, 22 years later, God's word, God's promise is real. God is not a man who lies. Yes is yes, no is no. So try, give 10% to the local church where you belong, and may God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to this teaching. I know that your time is valuable, but I believe that when you receive the word of God, it will build your faith, it will be the medicine in your life, it will heal your soul, your body, your spirit, and you shall be blessed by his word. Listen to the word, go to the next CD, and listen to more CD, go to your church, listen to the sermon, read the Bible, and be hungry for the word of God for the rest of your life. May God bless you. Before I end this teaching, in case if you receive this CD and you are not a Christian and you don't know Christ yet, I would like to invite you to be in the family of God. It's not about receiving any religion, but it's about relationship with the Son of God, and his name is Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you on the cross to pay for your sin. And Jesus opened his arm and said, come back home, my child. I created you. I love you so much. Could you please accept Jesus into your heart? Invite him into your heart. And at that moment, you will be born again if you turn away from your sin and invite Jesus to come into your heart. Why don't you pray with me? I will lead you in prayer right now. Father in heaven, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Please come into my life. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. You died for my sin. And I received your forgiveness. Please forgive me. I turn away from my sin. And I want to be a child of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Congratulations for your decision. Find a good church that teach the Bible and believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and be a giver, and you will see what God can do for you, and you will see and test the goodness of God. May God bless you. I meet you next time in the next session of teaching. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I believe, Lord, that you will bless everyone who listened to this teaching. May their faith grow. May you bless the work of their hand. There will be the head, not the tail. There will be above, not beneath. Everything they touch will be blessed because they are faithful and loyal to you. And they, Lord, take the step of faith to tithe and to give to you faithfully, Father. Bless them indeed. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.